Christine King, project coordinator of the University of Alaska Anchorage's Center for Human Development, says until about a decade ago, there was little tracking of violence and abuse against elders and the disabled, either nationally or in Alaska. But that's changing, and the trend is disturbing. King cites statistics gathered by the state's Adult Protective Services.
What they found over the last about 4 or 5 years is that their request for services have increased by 169%. And our long-term care ombudsman, in a matter of 1 year between 2008 and 2009, they received calls of potential abuse of seniors that increased 204%.
King translates the percentages into actual incidents. She says in fiscal year 2005, Adult Protective Services had about 1,000 cases. In 2009, it was almost 3,000 cases. King says on the positive side, the increase probably represents more awareness of the problem. On the negative side, national studies estimate only 1 in 5 cases of elder abuse is reported. As to reports to authorities nationwide concerning the disabled,
nonviolent crimes against persons with disabilities was 1.5 times higher than the rate for persons without disabilities. They also found that the rate of rape or sexual assault was more than twice the rate for persons without a disability, and that people who had intellectual or cognitive disability had a higher risk of violent victimization than persons in any other type of disability.
King says elder and disabled abuse takes several forms. The most well-known are perhaps physical, such as hitting, emotional in the form of verbal abuse, and sexual attacks.
You also can see abandonment, where a senior or even a person with a disability is being abandoned at a hospital by their caretaker, or they're left at their assisted living home and not being provided any resources, and maybe the home is calling and saying, "This our resident needs additional clothes or personal care items," and the family member is not responsive.
There's also resource abuse.
We also see exploitation, which could be in the form of financial, where people are taking the person's money. It's also resources. It could be the person's car, the person's home. Maybe they're taking personal items from the house. And then there's neglect and self-neglect, where a person is not taking care of the individual's personal, intimate needs, like hygiene.
To report situations of possible elder or disability abuse, individuals can contact a number of agencies, including the Adult Protective Services, the Long-Term Care Ombudsman, and in the most serious cases of physical or sexual abuse, the police or troopers. In October, as part of Domestic Violence Awareness Month, the Center for Human Development sponsored one event focusing on identifying and responding to abuse situations and another on financial abuse of seniors. Training opportunities fall within the realm of King's colleague, Lisa Cobble, director of the Trust Training Cooperative, which is funded by the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. Cobble says part of the goal with such training is to sharpen the skills of professionals working with the elderly and disabled under trust programs so they can spot abuse and know how best to respond.
Make sure that they understand, for example, about prevention of abuse and neglect, about, gosh, I'm a mandatory reporter. What do I need to be aware of? And what am I looking for if I suspect abuse or neglect or other concerns of the people that I'm working with?
Cobble says the trust offers dozens of online training opportunities for those workers. For KSKA, this is Len Anderson.